Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I would like to welcome you all into Dan and Derek's
psychotic pre-season
rant. 2 production meeting.
What is this? What now?
Hi, this is Derek Myers, and this is What Now? I'll be joined by Dan Lee as a co-host, and we'll talk about whatever we damn well want to talk about, mainly being old dads. But we'll see.
You are welcome. Feedback is more than welcome. You will find things that happened today.
Mm.
You will feel compelled to write to us.
Yeah.
Ring us and say, are you fucking for real, you morons? And you might feel compelled to say, yeah, that's a great idea. Go with that. Go with option A.
Yeah.
So we're opening our production meeting to the world. And
as a kind of bridging episode from our past podcast life to our new star-spangled, all-star-studded.
Yeah, and to go straight into a massive tangent already. The whole point of this is not doing it with you guys.
What
listening.
Is the whole point of this?
Well, the whole
Let's
point.
Let's break it down, Derek. What is the point of anything?
You can't do two tangents at a time. Right, there's only one studio.
I just tried to blow into the biggest tangent of all. The meaning of what the fuck are we even
that was season
getting
one.
At?
That was season oh. one. Come on, we got
all right.
We're existential
we're tightening
burnout.
Our focus and our sphincters in the second act. Go on. What's...
Exactly. Well, the whole point is there's something that Dan and I probably have in common. I don't think, maybe not, but there's something that I.
That's a good start, Derek.
Yeah, all right. We're fucking just, I'm not making any sense. And we don't intend to.
I might
to.
Mean this or I might not.
Yeah. So I am not an established collaborator. I'm not an experienced collaborator, and I clearly am shit. Because the other day I just thought of a new name for our show that we're rebranding, but we'll get to that, and just changed it on Instagram, and then immediately went, fuck. And when I read, when the byline was Derek and Dan, I went, oh, fuck, and sent him a message, going, all right.
It's lucky I'm not on social media.
I know. Don't panic if someone says, oh, I see you've changed your name. So I'm learning, and the disappointing thing already is that I just when the mics went on and I started talking, I immediately announced the format that we were going to take the show today.
Yeah,
without having pre-discussed it.
You also stopped my flow.
Yeah.
To say without further ado,
which you were adieuing. We were fully adieuing.
Yeah,
adieuing.
This gets to a bigger thing that we. That's going to be something we can be of use to other people is that the middle-aged narcissistic parent brigade, maybe this says something about us.
All the other ones.
Well, that you'd think if we've got little kids, you would have gotten used to not being the center of the universe, Derek. But the fact that you keep forgetting the fact that you're in this as a collaborative situation, have you learned anything from your children at all, Derek?
Yeah, definitely. Because I used to think that the center of the universe was one core entity or heavenly body, if you like. And now I realize it's actually three. Me and my children.
Right. Unfortunately.
It's like the Milky Way.
Yeah.
You know? And all the other people you meet, non-blood folk. That you love, like your wife and your co-host, are more like moons, really.
In orbit around you.
Oh, yeah.
My brother and I, Tuffy and I, talk about it in terms of leading roles and extras.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, he and I are the lead roles and everyone else is an extra.
Well, that's how it is, and that's why I can't actually cope with mortality.
You're probably a supporting role.
And I'm not. I certainly don't think, how's the world going to cope without me?
No, exactly.
But I think the world won't exist without me. Like, that's worse than not coping.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you don't have to need to be the center of that's right. It doesn't exist.
Exactly.
That's the big problem. I'm not scared of death either, except for the idea that there'll be no existence from which to miss existence.
The world that disappears when I die is like a little, you know, 2 gigabyte USB chip going missing from the back of pocket of a of a fucking
a drunk mid, on a mid tram.
Manager from a big company in this whole world. Like it's not, it's on there, but the whole world is on that chip.
Mm.
Because the whole world is
inside you.
Exactly. Yeah. So it goes, and bad luck. So I sometimes feel sorry for Lady Gaga and all the other important people, right? Because I feel kind of guilty, and I feel like I shouldn't
be. They're all going to be just snuffed out when you die.
Yeah, and I think maybe I should start so looking after my health. So you're subconscious. I've got more responsibility than
so your just subconscious myself. Is responsible for Lady Gaga and George Pell.
Everyone,
if they're manifestations of your unconscious, I mean, you are the no. root of all evil and the root of all excellent vocal compositions and dance performances.
No, they are really extreme cases of small bacteria that are growing on
in your brain.
My planet. It's all real.
Oh,
it's all real, but then it just won't be when I die. So we're going very this production.
Deep in considering, like you were always had an aversion to going deep.
Yeah.
But I think, redundance, fear, being out, you know, impotence and obsolescence are going to be big themes in our take on parenting. It's a horrible one, that one, isn't it? Impotence, because I'm using it in meaning it of no use and powerless. But you know, you always jump to a hard on conclusion.
But I know. Here we go, another tangent. But we need to start drawing a graph. We need to get an air tasker in here, to draw a graph of our conversation, so we can on a whiteboard, so we can look back and track it.
An air tasker to come and just put up with the shit. About $7 a day, would that do?
Well,
to come in and just take notes and put up with shit.
Our dear friends at the Daily Talk Show have got a gold mine, and his name is Mr. 97.
A gold mine.
They got a young fella who's, you know, better than them and smarter than them.
Right.
And
sounds good so
keen
far.
Keen to learn the trade and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And he's been great.
And they don't pay him.
I think they do.
Shit.
But might not have at the beginning, but yeah. I want one of those.
Yeah.
We might have to get a Mr. 87 or something like that you know, on our budget. But you know. So our production meeting, welcome everybody. Welcome back, Dan. Tell me, this is going to be a really quick answer. What's been happening?
Oh, fuck me. Well, it turns out 2 kids is just something else. Like, so, I mean, first of all, I think our podcast season 2 is going to feature more heavily. I think the thing we have in common and we seem to come back to is to do with being fathers one way or another, and which brings another thing we have to talk about in the new season is the snip, because I had the snip a few months ago.
You had your balls cut off.
that's what everyone thinks. Everyone thinks you had your balls cut off. And I've been trying to talk all the alpha males I know into having a vasectomy. And it's really funny watching.
Is it like the swimming pool? Oh, it's lovely. Come in. Straight
it's
in here.
Great. Well, the only. No, actually, look, we'll save that for later. But we want to talk to people about that thing about at what point do you stop filling the world with progeny, and you know, at what point do you, if you know, well, there's all that. So, what have I been doing is trying to deal with sick babies. They're the bubonic babies of Elwood, our babies. Because when one gets sick, they all get sick, and we all get sick, and we were on fucking tour, all sick in a hotel room, which was a nightmare. Another thing I discovered recently was that. I was given a instructional parenting book that pointed out to me that 4-year-olds can't regulate their emotions.
Oh, no shit.
Now, one thing that I learned.
No shit.
One thing I've learned, the most overwhelming thing I've learned about the fact that 4-year-olds can't regulate their emotions is that neither can I. I can't regulate my emotions either. And he's pointing that out by not regulating his, because I'm supposed to be the grand regulator. I'm supposed to stay cool, not take it personally, when he just fucking blanks me and negates everything I try to do and resists everything and refuses to sleep. And you can't thrash them within an inch of their lives anymore, apparently. But I see why people had the urge to do that in the olden days.
I reckon I've got a thing about that. Theories obviously develop over the years, but I was reading something that made a lot of sense the other day about yelling and bellowing and stuff.
Yeah.
So once they don't feel safe, it goes straight into that non-regulating thing.
Mm.
Not sure what ages, maybe your whole life.
Yeah. Right?
When you don't feel safe, you lose control over emotions. So this is what I'm trying to go, right? Okay.
It's like the same with
me. Once you've got upset and they have to know you're upset when they've done something fucking real bad, right?
Right.
Somehow. But once they're scared, you can't keep pushing on and trying to get a result.
Because they're not going to be logical.
Because they can't. Well, not just not logical, they've lost complete control.
Yeah, it's physiological. They don't have the capacity to then go, hang on a minute. This is a situation where dad's a bit upset and what I need to do is this. Is that what you're saying?
No, they can't. It's over. And even if they ever had that logic, which they don't, it gets worse. So complete, all control goes. And if you say, right, that's a weak screen ban.
Right.
And they go, and you go, right, that's 2 weeks.
Oh, dude, you can't do that.
And then they go, they can't. You go, in your head, you go, well, if I keep this going, what's going to happen? Yeah. And they go,
you'll be in the basement.
And then it just accelerates. It just keeps going and going and going until they'll never look at a screen for their whole life.
So, and I'm also,
I have experimented with
I'm also helpfully informed that all of this is my fault. Like, it's me that starts the chicken and egg thing. It's not a chicken. I am the chicken and I laid the egg. And if I get upset, then he gets insecure and then he's going to lose control of his emotions. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any way you cut it, I have to be the adult in the situation.
And that's not fair, is it?
It's not fair. Look, because the problem is, because I was saying to Missy, I know the ideal but I do have trouble there's a point that's reached where I can't regulate my emotions either. I can't. It's very difficult, especially in the heat of a situation where someone's going to die, when you're in traffic or something and the stakes are this high and you need to somehow step out of it to have the cognition to go, all right, what you need to do is just calm down. But when it accelerates so suddenly, you're sort of – and you have – unless you're a psychopath, is all I can think. Psychopaths can stay calm.
So they're good parents.
Like JFK.
So it makes them good parents.
Well, look at the American presidents. All the effective and good and compassionate American presidents have been psychopaths. I don't know if it was all of them, but people like JFK were technically psychopaths.
Mm.
And that allowed them to – they were just benevolent psychopaths, right? So – but it allowed them during things like the Cuban Missile Crisis.
What if they had Twitter, though?
To calmly, calmly do, you know, assess the greater good.
Mm.
You put me in that situation, I'll be screaming and just randomly firing missiles at countries that looked at me the wrong way because I'm emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
And once I'm over a certain level, how do I regulate that? And it's the scary thing about being a parent is you don't. Sometimes you don't see that coming and you don't know you're going to get overwhelmed and angry.
Yeah,
and
down in the war room, it's not just a fucking emotional or unemotional president. There's a whole bunch of fucking alleged professionals.
Right.
Who are full career.
That you have the choice
to not
listen to.
Navy man and that, whatever happened. You know, in the movies, they're all there giving advice.
The Situation Room.
And so the president can either be under the table screaming. Or can be standing there going, yes, I see what you're saying. But either way, you think maybe and the same goes for your missus.
Right.
Where sole parenting becomes much more difficult.
Sure.
Because you are.
That's it.
That you're just the president. Like you're more King Jong Un kind of guy.
There's nothing between you. There's no circuit breaker.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we're trying to do now, and it's making me just think a bit about myself. And there's hardwired reactions that I have, and I do respond to the world very emotionally. This is why I don't do what's it, social media anymore, or I have to really limit news because I can't.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much of that I can change, because what happens is that something sort of interrupts my kind of serenity and seems unjust or nonsensical, and then I start adding stuff to it. It's the taking things personal. And as much as I'd like to not do that, at this stage I need some kind of time out place to get on top of that, because otherwise – and you don't get that with kids.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
There's no – you don't get to switch off.
Yeah. So you hope you've got a partner or someone who can step in and – so you can just walk away. Because I just have to walk away sometimes and just stop the acceleration of my brain.
And if you've got a, understanding and a system where, or some kind of, you know, escape word, pineapple.
Exactly.
It's always pineapple.
It's always pineapple.
but where it's like, well, there's two ways I can go here. I can say, oh, fuck up with your pineapple. Just grow up. We've got things to do. Get your head down.
Yeah.
And then accept the meltdown that's ensuing, or you go, when the other guy goes pineapple or declares they're about to snap, then go, all right, well, shit's going to get more difficult, but I'm not right on that edge.
Yeah.
I may be in about 10 minutes, but you know.
Yes, because he and I definitely feed off each other. I know that if I'm getting frustrated, he will push that, obviously, and he's searching for boundaries and all that. And again, all of this I understand. It doesn't make it any easier. No. It doesn't mean that mean that I'm suddenly, by understanding it, perfected. I've still got
intellectualizing this, doesn't achieve.
Well, I've still got this nasty old antiquated software in my brain that's wired up dodgy, you know, and that doesn't change overnight.
Yeah.
So it's fuck me, you know.
It's very tricky, but we don't mind tricky.
Mm.
But you know what I was saying before about how the kids melt down if you keep going on at them, and or your emotions, you've lost control of your emotion. Yes.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to get any control over theirs.
Yeah.
So it does put a positive spin on the belting.
Yeah.
Right, which you can't do because that's a whole nother psychological damage, like trust and all that.
But it's
that.
A solution.
But it,
I mean, there's
the one
situations.
Thing about it, it leaves them without that ongoing, but that cause and effect.
Yeah.
They're in their room going, oh, you know, but processing. There's not someone still going on because they haven't, you know what I mean?
I know. There's certainly moments where you think, God, I know how I can
don't
stop.
Don't do it, people.
Stop. But yeah, of course you wouldn't do it. And I know how I can stop this situation.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we don't think it and don't feel it. But
modern?
I mean, I try all these different things too. Like when I have that ability to put a moment space between me and the situation and get the right perspective, then I can kind of get down to his level, talk to him and say, look, I'm a bit angry about this now and I don't want to be angry. I want us both to have a nice day. And I would really, you know, it's getting the balance between being too complex and conversational and just telling him how it is. Because just telling my son how it is does not work. Like he won't. We've kept trying to get him to swimming lessons, and he just won't take instruction with anyone. So I have to teach him, and he's incredibly resistant to everything. Even if he wants to do it, I told you about the time when I tried to make him go to the toilet before we left the house.
Yeah.
And he sat in the bathroom with me for an hour, and he'd just got started. Like he could have done another, you know, it was me that broke first.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Is it a game or, you know.
But we have to admit that we feel this difficulty, you know, and you do get angry. It's really fucking hard. My brother said to me the other day, it's really hard. It's really hard. And it's in ways that you didn't expect. As I said, about illustrating to yourself all your shortcomings as a human being, not just as a parent, your own inability to regulate your emotions. Then on top of that, when you've got the second baby, they're not sleeping.
Mm.
So everyone's getting broken sleep. So that's adding to the, you know, the inability to regulate emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're, because we've got a 6-month-old and a 4-year-old. So he's at the peak of 4-year-old obstructionary sort of, you know, just no-ness and shouting.
Mm.
And then the baby just doesn't sleep. So, you know.
Every single phase is, every single, I guess, set of situations, like you're one, okay, nightmare, because they're at 4 and you've got a baby, so you're fucked.
And that's
right?
That's the kicker.
And, what did I have? I had 2.5 and a baby. Mm. And you're fucked for another reason.
Right, exactly. There's no perfect.
Right, poo and wee and
yeah.
And other things and no kinder, you know, and things sure. like that.
At least we've got kinder.
But there's pluses. I'm trying to find the pluses, the 4. Yeah, you've got kinder. That's the plus.
How did you deal in those early combative, excuse me, in the when they're just dangerously blocking you when you're trying to get them in cars, in traffic, and, you know, when they're 4 or around that where you can't even reason with them.
Yeah.
Did you find you had to have some systems with your wife about helping each other out, or what did you do?
Who the fuck knows? Because when you've got a 4-year-old, you've also got 1.5-year-old in my case. Well, the first one, and the second one, when your second one's dangerously anything, you're less likely to even notice.
No, that's right.
But you do have that inner fear that you set off a combative moment that makes them do something that actually is dangerous. Like, no, I'm going to, no, please stay near the car and walk this way.
Yeah.
No, boom, and they go off the other way and then they're gone.
Well, sometimes if you've got a kid that does the opposite, so by trying to, that's a reverse psychology nightmare when you're saying,
if they do what you say, then you have to stand there and tell the coroner that I told him to do that. It's like, oh, yeah,
but if you say don't step into the traffic,
you don't.
He's going to step into the traffic.
You don't allow for your shank in golf. You don't point yourself into the woods because you always go right.
I know, but sometimes you're pushing him further into. Yeah. It's like you find yourself nagging and just because he will do the opposite to so much stuff, and he will. You wonder if just that nagging's making it worse too, like having to, fuck it, it's a minefield. And then, as I said, being tired on top of that.
And ladies and gentlemen, that gives you a massive taste of what's to come on whatever the name of this show is going to be.
Except we'll try to dilute it with some guests.
Well, there's going to be one of the biggest changes as a collaborator, a new style collaborator, I'm going to say to Dan, how do you feel about this?
Mm.
What about a motto that, it's partly a working motto that says it's not all about us.
Mm. So you're talking about an essential intent of the podcast.
I'm talking about having guests, right? Because we could rabbit on all day about what it's like to have.
Yeah, yeah.
What have I got? Fucking hell. 11-year-old. What have I got? 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And what it's like for you. And then in a year's time, it'll be slightly different.
Right? Yeah, but look, but hang on.
But really, we have decided this previously. It's not me making it up.
No,
But we're going to throw in some guests and get some proper fatherhood issue stuff going. And
but today I'm just ranting because I have to purge this because it's been too long.
So we're going to rant. So we're ranting, ranting about the how things feel.
Yeah.
Right, and then
it's about how we feel, that's 20 Derek. Minutes,
and then we're going to roll. Like this is me trying to be a professional producer as well, right?
Oh,
but
good.
It's just a meeting.
See, I'm going to be like my son, and I'm going to push
stop
back
now. Again. Stop now, serenity now. So then we're going to have a talk about this, and this gives us an idea on how we're going to not make it go for 3 hours, because otherwise we'll have a guest. We'll talk to the guest and then we'll sit there and whinge about our kids for another 2 hours, right? And then what do you do? So we need different experiences.
So, well, in that case, we may have to do something whereby I get to purge my or to address my psychiatric therapeutic needs.
No, that's not going away. Either before or after. That's an important part of it.
Yeah.
You can tell the guest all that.
Yeah, okay. But I don't want to, we don't want to end up just, you know.
Come and listen to us.
Come and listen to us complain. Yeah, well, make us a cup of tea, will you?
Yeah.
Just sitting there.
You know, and things are on my mind because we're going, you know, more professional, let's face it. You can't get more professional as far as audio quality. And
Derek's studio is getting shinier and there's more buttons.
It is a lot more buttons. We have got the Rode setup of the future. We've got a Rode Procaster, Rodecaster deck, and we've got the latest pod mic, Rode microphones and stands.
These are new mics as well.
Oh, yeah, these are all new microphones. It's beautiful. So that's besides the point. This is ace, and that we don't have to even think about that, but we do have to think about our production and how much time we put into different things. But with that very, very important rule that if you're going hot, you're going hot. Even if we have to, if we have to make it a 3-hour show one day, because something big's going down, that's how it's going to be.
Sure.
So
I think there should be some structure and some and some sort of, you know, like an intent, like a strong kind of purpose, right?
Yeah.
But I do fear restriction that's going to make me try to abbreviate and cut things off. So
no need.
Yeah.
No need to worry about that.
Yeah.
But apart from the fact that I just already did it just before.
Well, because what we're doing here is we're not trying to sort of get information across to people. It's not like we can go, we've got to cover this, 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 and this. It is about people having.
You're not alone.
Fellas. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what, and that's why I really, in relation to parenting and being a father, I really want to look at some of those fears that we have that we're fucking it up, you know. It's that we talked about the Cats in the Cradle song, and that fear that you might end up in that situation where the kid, you just don't, you know, the kid grows up and you don't have a relationship.
We use it in our house as a psychological weapon.
Right. You start singing it to each other.
Yeah, if Fiona goes out, you know, and then, you know, the next night she goes, I'm going to go and have a wine with Claire or something like that. You know, there's
cats in the cradle. It's like
a child arrived the other day, came in, and they go, "Oh, shut up!" And we do it to it. It's just.
Well, these are the fears that we have, and I don't know. Have you ever read any of the men's parenting books? There's a few out there, like fatherhood books. Apart from Steve Bidulph and those people who are quite serious about it, they always do it's like the women's version, but with lots of football and fucking beer drinking anecdotes.
I haven't read any. My mate Dave, who was, you know, ahead of me by a year or so, he lent me one.
Yeah.
And I
– well, they just
it's in my guilt chest because I'm not sure where it is. And sorry, Dave, Scottish Dave in Townsville, shout out.
I'm really sorry.
I don't know where it is because he did say, can I have that book back because my other friend's pregnant and I kind of –
just beware of the fatherhood ones, though, because often they're just a dumbed-down version of the women's one with lots of footy anecdotes, which just fucking infuriates me. What I hope we can it's just like, I know when you spill your beer and you're fucking watching the footy, babies are a bit like that. No, they're fucking not, and I don't need to be dumbed down. So what I hope we can do is talk about some of the stuff that is of real concern specifically to men, to fathers. And that comes from looking, you know, the things, there's patterns in fatherhood, isn't there? There's a lot of stuff that people repeat and don't, but it doesn't get talked about as much.
Do you reckon that, you know, when I made up my other show, the Aussie Vinyl Show, and I went, oh, you know, and sort of categorized myself as a, what I made up a new word, naive journalist, right?
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, I see the validity of being able to host a show or do something and crap on, but also, no, instead of already knowing the material, actually letting people hear you, your question. Let's say you're sitting there, you're an expert on vasectomies, right?
Mm.
And I'm going to ask the questions that the listeners are asking while, but if I'm also a, you know, a ball bag expert from way back, then I might not have
that's
that
how
question.
I think of you.
So I know it's justification, but I see the validity in us being, you know, just like loose, make the shit up as you go along kind of fathers. And then hearing other people's stories. Not necessarily experts. I'd like to have a few experts in here and there.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. But I'd like to hear other people's stories.
I want to hear from fathers. Fathers of like grandparents, you know, older fathers, like our parents' age.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
I want to hear from even women and their what they think of even women. And what fatherhood means to
that came into my mind yesterday. I went, wait a minute, we're not limited to just people who are fathers. In fact, most people have got one and have been affected somehow by one. And some people remember or don't how that affected them.
And the great tradition of absent fathers, especially in the sort of 50s and to the 70s, and now we're all sort of neurotic fussing fathers.
And double and like lesbian couples who have kids.
Right.
And some of them she's the father or and some of them go, no, we're both mothers or whatever. Find whether out what that is. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I'm whether interested. They have a close uncle or relative.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Stuff like that. My they used to joke my wife's a twin and her sister raised her daughter. No, single as a single mum,
right?
And you know they used to call my Fiona, you know, the father. Twins are a bit weird.
Yeah, twins are a bit weird.
But well, stuff like that can all, you know, it's loose. We're loose. We do what we want.
Yeah, but I think that the emphasis is on really getting into you're not alone territory, so that we can address. That's why I started talking just before and purging that stuff about the fear that I have, because I want to try and get it right, and I really come up against my limitations, and it's shocking. But I think people need to know that.
Yeah,
it's not all.
And our experiences won't. Yeah, our experiences aren't going to cover even a tiny titbit of the real experiences. When you think about it, like everything you're going through, there's someone else going through that who might have a partner.
Mm.
Who slaps the kids?
Yeah, right.
Or goes and plays bingo every night.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever. Mm. You know, we've all got these unique set of things, and something that does my head in is people going, "Oh no!" Like, and I experienced it years ago when I had a job that was real cushy, where I could get, you know, some leftover wine for free and some cheese, you know, at the age of 18 or whatever. Yeah. And people go, and I go, "I'm going to leave that job." People go, what, are you crazy? Like, you know, so that everyone's expectation of whether or not you've got the right to have a complaint.
Yeah, right.
Because there's someone else worse off. It's just fucking nuts.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's lots of, yeah. We're all in the same psychological boat. I've found this with parenting particularly because, you know, everyone's, look, if you're a single father or a single mother, there's a whole difficulty there. There's financial problems people have, all these things that can make it easier or harder. Mm. But one thing that seems to be the same is that, like, it's going to bring up your emotional and psychological weaknesses and strengths, regardless of whether you've got 24-hour nannies, because then you're a single parent. I mean, you're going to be up against something, whether it's guilt, and you know. Oh, Sammy and I have such a great time most of the time.
Mm.
We have these beautiful experiences that, as you know, would make it all worthwhile, you know, those moments.
Yeah,
And then the next minute you don't know what the fuck they're trying to destroy you for. Like, why? So the emotional swing in that is full on, you know?
Mm. They test the water and they do it, you know. You've got that 16-year-old boy full of testosterone and thinks he's got real muscles and he's got pubes and everything, and he decides to take his father on.
Yeah.
And the father would just put him down with grown strength. That kind of old classic thing.
Yeah.
But I think they do that in many, many ways. I think you'll get a taste of that even stronger with the girl.
Yeah.
You're on the same pattern as I. So a girl next, and you go, and then it's even weirder because they don't. The boys wear their naughty shit right on their sleeve. They're just idiots. We used to call our son Edward the Confessor because he just had no idea of how to be sneaky. Just flat out, a twit, right? But then the girls, they're much cleverer, and they rehearse for being 16,
right
from the beginning. Just the first time you see that, you go, oh, yeah, he was right. You'll go, oh, no.
So you're constantly torn between this one's easy and this one's a nightmare. And it's changing every day, you know.
And it's a long, long training course they're on to have a crack at the silverback.
Right? Yeah. Take out the alpha.
And it's just training. And they're training on you.
Yeah.
But when they're ready to take on the silverback, in the real world, they're ready for the world and you're
But isn't that funny broken. because I feel like the silverback that never made it anyway. No, and I'm like, well, fucking lay off me.
You're the sparring partner for life's emotional sparring. Sorry.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Someone should have told us.
So what have you thought about that? Well, this is just coming fresh, right? So I'm making it up. So it could sound shit by the time I finish this sentence, but it's worth having a crack. But if you think about yourself literally in that, you know, in the movies when, you know, you might be Clint Eastwood or whatever and you've got those weird big pad glove things on you're training someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some stage you've got to train them by – dodging, and at some stage you've got to train them by jabbing them to show their defences.
Right.
Right. This is not a physical – this is a metaphor for non-physical activity.
You're not justifying giving
punch your children.
Smack in the mouth every now and then.
You know, if you – it's more if you consider yourself when it's all going crazy, just think, that this is my job. You know, we are having a fight, but
you
it's
need
not
these
really
now.
A fight.
Yeah.
It's the kid finding out what happens.
And they're super addicts. Like, everything you knew about addiction right and worse. Like, they're totally – 1 5 minutes of Peppa Pig and they're fucking crackheads for it or whatever it is that they watch.
Oh, yeah.
Same with food. They just want donuts and ice cream 24/7.
As soon as they hit the sugar hits.
And they screw. Yeah.
Oh.
So you don't know whether to let them have a little
blame
bit.
Blame the grandparents.
You're screwed either way.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I don't know whether I envy his youth and having his life ahead of him or feel desperately sorry for him for having a whole life ahead of him because it's such an agonizing thing to – it reminds you of your own growing up.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't – the only way you'd go back is if you went back as you now. I wouldn't relive the life I've had so far. Like, I'd rather keep going to the end than go back. I wouldn't mind having the extra time as an adult, but it's such a – I look at him and go, my God, there's so much is going to happen to you and it's going to be great and it's going to – but either way, it's kind of exhausting.
That's just anxiety projecting, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not upset about it. I just
probably won't be as exhausted.
No, no, but I don't.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's I used to have a friend who said I fucking hated school, hated maths, rah rah rah. And then when you really get down to it, they turned being shit at it into hating it. So their memory changed to I chose not to do that because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Right? So their memory changed of their reason for deciding, and basically justification.
Well, we do that with everything, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And the whole I wouldn't change a thing.
Mm.
I nearly lost that track. It just came back just in time.
Mm.
And then I blew it by talking about it and I'll forget it again. But the point is I really question whether that whole I wouldn't change a thing, those last 52 years have made me what I am and have made.
Well, you've got to say that, though, don't
my
you?
Whole future is dependent on me having done that stuff. Yeah, you do, because otherwise you're fucked.
Exactly.
Otherwise you're fucking fucked.
We create the story, the narrative that we require to exist.
You spend the last 20 years regretting the first 50 or whatever it is.
But that's why people won't look at climate change as a reality and things like that, because they can't afford to see what they're doing as destructive, particularly all the good things that have happened. It's like there's an anti-climate change group who are saying, but we wouldn't be as advanced and wonderful if it wasn't for fossil fuels. So therefore we should keep using them.
Yeah.
And whereas you can say something was good for us once, but is no longer good for us. It's this thing of if it's no good for us now, then we have to throw away all achievement that's come.
It's only acceptable good. If they went back, tell those cunts, right, from me, next time you're chatting with them on social media, tell them from me that, first C word of the season perhaps, that if go back to when fossil fuels were a great thing and made us better people and put some fucking solar panels up, right?
Well, look, all of the
And what about the billions of fucking people that had to die at the age of 35 as young parents of coal dust inhalation? And it's like, it wasn't fucking good for us. It was good for the rich.
Well, we didn't have solar panels at the turn of last century.
Exactly. It was only what we could
have. But there's no, you can't deny that fossil, the discovery and harnessing of fossil fuels hasn't, you can't deny that that's advanced us in all sorts of incredible ways, from medicine and health. Just by being able to have the lights on at night means that people can do stuff, and you know, it's not up for question.
We're talking about some twat who lives in a caravan on their block, and then builds an annex on the caravan, and then another annex on the caravan, and then builds a roof over the whole lot, and then it builds another annex and builds all around it until they've got this hodgepodge, crazy big building, and then eventually they go, the council come and go, you know what? You're fucked. You have to take it down and build it again. And then go, if it wasn't for that caravan, and it is true, if it wasn't for the caravan, it wouldn't have happened because they couldn't have stayed living there for that long. But still, it was a massive waste of resources. And
And just because something worked before doesn't mean you have to be loyal to it forever. Someone said it's like saying we have to stick with fossil fuels because they helped us once, because is like saying I have to stay with the abusive partner because the first few months were really good.
Yeah.
Well, no, because it's, you know. Anyway, I don't know how we got.
We were just talking about knobheads who are in denial.
Right. Okay.
And the fact that we're in denial.
Write the narrative that you need to survive.
All religions are in denial of mortality.
Yeah.
It's all it is. It's all just denial. Yeah, because it's our great gift.
Because if heaven is so great, why isn't everyone just killing themselves? That's why they wrote the thing in that thou shalt not shoot oneself in the head. They made suicide a crime against God.
Yeah, because otherwise, there's a loophole.
Tell me about heaven again.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah. But I am enjoying my time as a slave. but nonetheless.
Oh, we forgot to tell you, it's a sin to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
It was like,
you can't
talk
get
about
out.
An extra clause.
Yeah.
Jesus.
There's the VIP area, heaven, which you ain't got a pass for.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
Yeah. Fabulous. Look. This is going to go. We could go for hours and hours.
Sure,
and so let's get another cup of tea.
No. What do you want?
I'd like to swing across to the transitional stuff.
Yeah,
so we've been what nowing, but on the topic of fatherhood, which is a great. We're doing so well automatically. That's all we got to talk about right now.
Yeah, but you're right. Bring some people in.
Definitely
that we can.
So that format I think is okay. I've got a couple of yeses already from lots of people, and the more you think about it, the more it just blooms in your head.
Yeah, and we can still talk about whatever we want within that, but you do need to have those structures or those at least things to fall back on, so that it's not just spiraling out into
name. My first instinct was. What was it? I forgot. Pull my finger. I thought it was funny and everything like that.
Yeah, but it is. And the sentiment's right. I just don't know if I can tell people
I'm a little bit off the pull my finger.
Mm. I do like it. I mean, I like
it. It shows that we're kooks, right? I suppose, yeah. or we're willing to have a joke, right?
Because it's to me,
it does represent the ultimate dad. That moment when you first do it and you get caught by your wife going, mm. "What are you doing?" You're going, "Oh, this is tradition." You know, because you pull the default my finger setting.
Well, but it's double edged, isn't it? Because that's a kind of dad joke thing that people look back with kind of cringe and fondness. But it's also a way of avoiding parenting too. Like fathers traditionally resort to daggy stuff to make their kids laugh. Like they'd rather do an armpit fart than talk to their kids about sex or something, right? Yeah. Like, so it's interesting. That's why I like it, because does point to that. Which, so you're not going to deny someone doing the ridiculous stuff with their kid. I mean, it's a great thing to do, because without a sense of humor, they're doomed, right? Mm. But at the same time, as fathers, we also have to step up and be more than that too, so that we don't perpetuate certain avoidance of certain, you know, I mean, my inability to regulate my emotions, for example, well, it's got to, you know, that's come from somewhere.
Mm.
And most men are the ones that have the difficulty with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, when I look at all the couples, the heterosexual couples that I know that have got kids, it seems to be the man generally who's having the issue that I have of going from being in calm, shallow water to way out of my depth in 0.0 of a, you know. So, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of blurring in between, but that's what I see. So, yeah.
And the competitive, and I think we're probably both agreed that we're not probably that interested in going, yeah, those, you know, it's all right for those women. They get this help and they get groups for this and that.
I wouldn't mind doing a bit of that.
Well, you do it on your own.
No.
Let me put a disclaimer in. I'm too scared to do that.
No, only for the purposes of shitting people.
Yeah.
Not for meaning. Only.
I'll give you a bit of background. After our last production discussion, where I had to confess that I'd forgotten we were collaborating when I was messing with names, I went to join Facebook groups, like fatherhood Facebook groups.
Oh, okay, right.
And my research is of interest, I think. I did stumble across a few that were like, you know, this group is to, you know, give men a bit more power and rah-rah-rah. And
against the evil, chaotic feminine. Something like that.
So I was like, oh, God, you know, it was a touch and go.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you have to say, to join, you've got to say who you are and
how old state your kids are.
Yeah, something like that. But that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's the rules with Facebook, with podcasting. You join some groups if you've got a specific niche and not only get your topics
so where
to
do
pick
you put
on
it?
What they say, you also get to tell them, hey, I've got a podcast on this topic. So that's just part of the game.
Yeah.
But I did – I've got some notes that I haven't got with me. But it's pretty bloody interesting.
Why would you bring your notes? I'm the same.
That's for another day.
Yeah.
So we do – yeah, so guests, name. So pull my finger, yeah, look, it's touch and go because we do plan on being huge.
This is it, man.
Yeah, we do have evidence.
Our particular brand of
all evidence
mindless.
Suggests we're going to be massive.
So the first advice you gave me on parenting was – hold on to your hat, which is
hang on
to
your hat. Yeah,
hang
yeah.
on to your hat, which someone else told you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, which is
I've said it
really
to every
the best
young
advice
dad, every potential dad who said, "Oh, I'm having a baby." I go right.
Yeah, because
here's my advice: hang on to your hat.
Ultimately, that's about all you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, that's your best. That you can probably achieve. You can probably hold on to your hat, but I can't guarantee much else.
Mm.
So that's. That's good. Yeah. I like that. It's still kind of funny. I mean, it's still got a sense of
And it has a sort of sense of warning and taunting. And we've got we do have a tradition of me going,
yes. You haven't seen anything
like
yet.
Like I'm sitting here like some kind of a wise old man who actually can't remember when my kids were four.
You think four's hard. Wait till four and a half.
I actually don't remember anything because it's all too much and blocked out.
It gets deleted from your brain.
God, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, and you when you're cruising around with a baby, people go all the time, approach you and say, oh, try and remember, you know, but you don't realise it's because they're blocking shit out. You think, oh, it happened so fast and this is the great time. People don't realise they've actually blocked out the pain of it and they go, oh, what happened? I had one of these beautiful babies.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. It must have been fast or something. But they're magical human.
But that's designed to get us to keep breeding, because otherwise there's a very clear biological evolutionary imperative for that. I mean, you can't afford to remember with 20/20 fucking vision every detail of the sleepless nights, or you would never have more children. I mean, it's already a bad deal on paper, you know. So
if you believe, it's back to this God stuff. But if you actually believed in that God created everything by design.
Mm.
Surely you'd be well pissed off.
Absolutely.
Or disempowered. If you're a woman and you believe that God designed you, everything was designed, surely you'd get really cross going, you built in something that would make me go through childbirth.
Mm.
And then a year later go, let's do that again.
Yeah. Like Stephen Fry saying, what's with, you know, child brain cancer or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. So you're a bit of a.
Christopher Hitchens used to say that too. That it's this capricious,
mosquitoes.
Nasty God that we all pray to. Like if you are right and there is a God, then you should want nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
You know, based on the track record.
But there's that. But anyway, the whole and on a more subtle level than. Kids getting sick. It's just like, hang on a minute, you're manipulating me.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, women don't like to be manipulated, but they're being manipulated by their own hormones. Yeah. That would do my head in. I'm sure I am as well, but I'm in denial. So I don't have to acknowledge it. I have to acknowledge other people's problems.
There's stuff you just can't get as the father, particularly breastfeeding, right? Because I think a lot of people have had the situation where if the breastfeeding becomes complicated, and difficult, the baby starts favouring the bottle over the breast and then or whatever, and it's I the first time round sort of said, well, just put her on the bottle, forget the breast thing now, right? You know, careful, like, mate. Yeah, exactly. just go put her on formula. She's been on that for ages, it's fine. And totally discrediting or not understanding that there's something more going on there. There's this connection between the mother and the kid and the hormonal stuff and the antidepressant effects for women, apparently. Mm. And it's so much more complex than it is for me. I mean, I can just be pragmatic about it.
Yeah.
So there's direct hormonal stuff with breastfeeding. And
this kind of thing, back to our link between old season, next season, and our point of being here today, is we will – maybe have a show where we do a bit of research or not and just talk about that, these points in depth, you know, and that's the point of the show.
Yeah.
So here's my other idea. And here's my other idea. So tell me what you think, Dan and people out there. info@castawaystudios.com.au. Tell me. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the whole idea. I need a little sound card that just says that so that my brain can still stay where it is.
You need some methamphetamine. So that's what you need to focus your brain.
You know what I did? I came in so early today because there's a new update for the Rodecaster Pro console here that I'm excited by.
Yeah.
But it must be an American time when it's been released. Anyway, I was here nice and early. And now I forgot what the fucking that story was for. No, I had my coffee fucking hours ago.
Oh,
so I'm actually in some weird state of
withdrawal.
Deprivation. Yeah. Here's my other idea. We do the season or the ongoing seasons in chronological order of the children.
Right.
Right. So
Oh.
I'd like to have our first guest is find some poor schmuck who's just announced the 13, whatever the rules are.
Yes.
The 13-week thing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, and they're our first guest. Like,
yeah, that's guess interesting.
What? And we can just smack them down with horror tales and or encouragement,
yeah,
depending. I think I was saying the other day,
blend of both.
I'd like to have a line. I'd like to have a baseline.
Yeah.
Call it. Let's call it zero. Right. I'd like
to do. You want a baseline?
Thank you for that.
Sorry, that was my baseline dad joke.
I thought we were going to have a jam.
Have you forgotten what you were going
to
say?
Yeah, no, I've got there. So I'd like to consider a baseline, right? Mm. So a traumatized father, which is what we're all about.
PTSD.
PFSD. So a traumatized father comes in. And they're overconfident, like they're 8 on the father level of confidence. Yeah. Well, I want to bring them back down to baseline with taunts and horror stories. If someone comes in half broken at -3, we'll bring them up. You know, like
you want to just bring everyone to a lovely mediocrity in the middle?
No, I want to be able to change people.
No, stress
for the better.
Yeah, true. Because we need to try and cope.
That's bullshit. I don't really want. But
it'd be nice if people
someone's
could
not
try
having a bad time. Then
give them.
I'm happy to give them a bad time. They can listen to this and go, "Should I go on this show? Let's listen to episode 1 this season." Oh no,
no, we might give it the big miss.
What sort of guests do we want, Dan? Can you think of You don't. Podcasting rules. You never say your guests before you've got them.
Yeah, I'm loath to. To drop any names I can't back up. But I think we should get all sorts of people. I think my brother needs to come in here and talk.
Yes, definitely.
I think that would be great, which means we will have to, because some people have regular jobs, we may have to do our recording at different times. So we might have to do an evening or something like that. But my brother has got two boys who are sort of 13. See now his eldest is 13, just become a teenager. So there's a whole other fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then the other one, and then the younger one is about 3 years younger than that. So we got that. And so even without the chronology, even if that didn't work out, we'll have access to fathers that have just got kids at all different.
Yeah, I think later in the ages.
So they can say, oh, shit, that's, you know.
Later in the ages, you can release them interviews chronologically.
Yeah. Mm.
But you don't necessarily have to. Early days you do. Like you can't interview someone about the 13-week pregnancy and then release it next year.
No.
Right. That's just stupid and could also be quite awkward.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But later on.
Maybe we should wait till the children are born.
We could talk to Tuffy. Yeah, I know.
We know what we're dealing with.
It's tricky. But you could talk to Tuffy. And slot him into that right place for a 13-year-old when the time comes.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah, that's right. You don't have to use it.
Professional producers here.
We don't tend to refer to the outside world much, so we could have recorded this 15 years ago. No one would know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except for the references to technology or in the future. So we're not really on it. We're not a topical kind of situation, so we don't have to and I think we should try and get a little bit ahead of the game too, so we've got time to do this organising, like getting guests and things like that.
Yep, that's no problem.
But, you know, if we're still interested, then it should be interesting for other people to listen. So if we get a guest who we really want to hear from, then that should be of interest to other people because we'll be, you know, engaging with them, with enthusiasm.
Exactly. And I've seen, because I run the studio here, lots of shows getting recorded in here now.
Mm.
And I see my Google Calendar, my time management skills have changed a lot in the last few months because of guests, other people's shows. They're just constantly going, oh, Derek, can I change my regular Tuesday half to Monday? Can I change the it's happening all the time. Every day I've got people – well-known podcasters going, oh fuck! My guest just cancelled. Can I do one Thursday arvo? It's constant. So
especially when you're not paying people to be guests.
If someone says, yeah, I'm in Melbourne on Thursday, then we just whatever.
Yeah.
You can, you know, if I go, well, I've got to get the kids, but I'll here, set it up, and you come in and interview them, and then I'll fuck off. Whatever we have to do.
Whatever we have to do.
Because you can listen to the interview, and we can still both have our input. But
I think we can agree, though, that the thing we want to do that's perhaps different is really get into the area that the sort of the nitty gritty of how people are coping with themselves as much as anything. It's less about the kids and more about how
what kids
more about how we're dealing with that, because we have come from a generation that weren't like our parents or their parents in that we really are very important in our own lives. We are the stars of our own shows, and that takes some adjusting, especially if you're a bit older when you have kids, and most people are these days. It's really not uncommon to be 40 and having a kid for the first time. And that's hard because and I can talk about creative pursuits too in relation to that, and I know lots of people who are musicians or artists, and to pursue a sort of rigorous and honest engagement with your creative kind of art form, whatever that is a bit like having another kid, because it's not predictable in the same way. Exactly. It's like you have to spend a lot of time walking around, and I consider Missy's creative work and mine as being, it's like we've got three kids. I think hers is half a kid and mine's half a kid, and we got two.
Oh, yeah.
It could be four, but it's, Because you can't just slot it in.
I was including you, sorry.
Because you can't slot the creative work in the way you can when I worked at the library. When I worked at the library, I had a shift between this and this. And I go in and I do whatever they say, what do we need to do?
Yeah.
But with the creative stuff, it might take me 2 days to figure out what the fuck I was, or to get past some kind of psychological block that I've got. And that's the same as dealing with kids. It's complex, emotional, and so that'll be of particular interest to me, and I do have access to people like that. I know a lot of people in that,
and it's juggling. And there's another thing too. I call it the oxygen mask effect.
Yeah.
So you know when you're on an airplane, they say if you've got children, put yours on first because their life depends on you breathing.
Well,
oxygen, right?
Yeah, totally.
And so you're no good unless you look after yourself first. Right. So there it comes in the argument. And I've actually had this conversation with my kids in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Going, right, this is what I've done. I'm podcasting a lot more now.
Yep.
Right? And I've got the studio and people are renting it for when I'm not there, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Things are going to be sweet. Things are going to be sweet. So, I'm actually engaging. They're only, what are they, 8 and 10.
Well, that's interesting.
And I'm engaging them in my career talk to let them know how it's going to affect them and it does. They've got it pretty good.
Most of the time.
When you think about it, because I can come and go self-employed. When you're self-employed, not quite as far as being a creative.
Yeah.
But I don't have that bit where you just fucking gone for chunks of time.
Yeah.
To some extent, my wife has, but she takes on a project with the library with it's all encompassing,
But yours is a complicated situation because you still have to earn, you're under pressure to earn money, right?
Well, that stops you the flexibility of being able to try something new.
Well, and because you've got, your self-employment things are creative. You're coming up with ideas all the time to employ yourself.
Yeah.
But then unlike having a day job to go to or like a strict day job.
Yeah.
And if you favour your kids, if you're like, well, I really want to put my kids first. Mm. And so then if you don't have a job that insists that you go on this day, it's much easier for you to then go, well, I'll favour the kids and I won't do this thing with work because it's a self-imposed work thing. And that's a really complicated and difficult thing. For example, if I don't address my creative output needs, I'm going to be a miserable asshole with the kids.
Exactly. And I am. On a much larger scale, it's a shit decision.
Right.
You become a shitter parent.
Right.
That's my point.
That's beyond just like techniques of parenting.
Yeah, whether you earn 40 grand a year or 70 grand a year will affect maybe affect how your domestic situation is with your partner.
Right.
But it's certainly, if earning 40 means you're happy.
Yeah.
But then if earning 70 makes you happy because you're happy because you're not miserable because you can't pay bills and you haven't got all anxiety.
It's not as simple as the dollar. Yeah.
It's not a dollar amount.
Because you can end up costing yourself more by not addressing this stuff.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people make that massive step between maybe 90 and 120.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that world very well. And I'm not talking about in the creative world. I'm talking about like management, working late. Mm-hmm. Like to me, I don't get it. If it's not creative, I don't get why you'd be absent cats in the cradle.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to mean there's no later. You know, this sounds really morbid, but if it finishes tomorrow, if something terrible happens tomorrow,
yeah.
If something terrible happens in 5 years' time, then everything I've worked for, if I'm a corporate management or whatever, everything I've worked for to try and make sure that they go to uni or whatever is a total waste.
Right.
And the life they've had before
the
avalanche or whatever happened, you know, in that, you know, disasterizing world I live in. Has given them. So my entire memory of the, you know, if your whole family disappears, you know, and they're like the age of 13 or whatever, then
they didn't get
that
the future.
That is the sum of what you've given them, everything up
that's
to
right.
there.
Yeah.
And it's the same as that whole notion of wait, you personally, forget children, but that whole notion of working for retirement. When you're fucked and everything hurts.
Exactly.
It's like, we've had this conversation a few times.
Then you've got nothing,
Let's just have retirement.
So my brother, Tuffy, does, he talks a lot about how you get what you put in to parenting down the track.
Yeah.
And that's very much the cats in the cradle idea because, you know, if you don't put in that time with them, then that's the sort of relationship you'll have with them when they're older. They won't come to you with certain things. So you have to think about what you want later on.
And that's why our generation – essentially, we've done it. You and me have already had our retirement.
Mm.
We retired between the ages of 16 and 40. Do you know what I mean? Like, doing stuff, working hard, but still, you know, I don't think the world won't owe me anything when I'm 70.
You mean you didn't put much into it in terms of – tax dollars.
I just think I had a great time. Like I really did.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I'm happy to accept.
And
if
that
I've
makes
got to
us
work
qualified
myself to the day I die. That's all. I'm not like, yes, I had the, you know, got married at 18 and had the kids and worked hard and rah, rah, rah. 65, bang, switch it off, get bored.
Yeah.
And get fat. I've already got fat and I've already been bored. I'm done. It's not about me.
You look like you've lost weight a bit.
Yeah, all
am
black.
I imagining
wearing
that?
All black today.
Oh. Am I not allowed to say that? You're not allowed to say that when people – if you think someone's lost weight, you're not allowed to say it.
Really?
Well, because you're emphasising the importance of weight. So if I'm not saying it to anyone anymore.
Oh,
like I used to occasionally go, wow, you look good.
Thing.
Have you lost weight?
Yeah.
And you can't say that because it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, but it fucking just does. Like
I know.
Something that does my head in.
It's political correctness gone mad.
Where's my onion? I'm hungry. Crunch, crunch. Look, that's a topic for my other podcast, which is called The Good Paddock.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, it's fat blokes, but you can't say that.
No.
You can say it on our show. But you can. And it is pointing out.
The love the dead, not speak its name.
What you cop when you're a fat bloke.
Dinner.
Where's the baby? So it is fascinating. I've years of watching the way people talk to a bloke about being fat and the way women speak to each other about being fat.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole media thing. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
Right. But this real massive push of going, no, beautiful as you are, you're beautiful. Oh, you look lovely. You know, you're lovely, 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 lovely. And as soon as they lose like 3 kilos, oh, wow, you look great. It's like,
so what was I before?
Somehow I just don't get that. I don't get how that can't be rude to if you've said you look lovely as you are, big as beautiful and all that.
Yeah. Like,
and then you're just going, nah, I was just kidding about that. That's better.
But everyone knows the truth.
Everyone knows the
Everyone knows the truth. They know
beauty is two different things.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And when you look healthy and then, yeah, everyone knows the truth. Everyone's just protecting everyone.
And it's too, you got to tiptoe, and that's the whole thing.
Or what
people don't tiptoe
Jordan
with blokes.
Would call virtue signaling.
People do not tiptoe with blokes, though. That's why I'm doing that other show at some stage.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because that good paddock was like years ago, we'd walk around Fitzroy. Mm. I'd run into older clients of mine or whatever, and people would just say straight to your face, "My, when you're standing there with your new girlfriend, gee, you've been in a good paddock." Right? And that's just like, that's like saying it. And I always used to go, fucking hell, imagine if I was a girl and I was walking along and I ran into someone I knew barely, just professionally, with my new boyfriend, and they went, "My goodness, you're fatter than you were last time I saw you." It's just an outrage.
It is an outrage.
But it's totally acceptable. Yeah. You've been in a good paddock, my father-in-law. Jeez, you've been in a good paddock. But, yeah, whether it's made me upset or not, I don't know, but I'm definitely. But anyway, there's lots of shit. So what about the name? I really love Hang On To Your Hat.
I do like Hang On To Your Hat. Yeah. And you can call it Hang On To Your Hat and subtitle it as well, you know, or just the description of each episode talks about the emphasis on fatherhood.
Yeah.
So, and that then makes the title relevant.
Well, you do get a subtitle. Yeah. Fatherhood with Derek.
A podcast about blah, blah. Yeah. And in order to prevent it from just being a purging session for the two of us, then we have guests. Actually, that's not the reason. The reason is out of interest. We're fine because if we really hone what our intent is with the podcast, then we'll know who we want to speak to.
Yeah.
It'll become obvious. Yeah. You don't want to just fill it up with guests token in it just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
If you really, we'll clarify that. So this has been a kind of a goodbye to what now. Hello, sailor.
I guess the next episode we'll be sitting here and we will have a topic on fatherhood.
But see, we might
whether we even go near that or not. That's a whole other question. But I think we will have a point.
Yes, and I think we should let the listener know that we.
And I'll have a little bell that I'll ring when Dan goes off topic.
And he'll
throw something at me, and then we'll go back to normal program.
I don't need a bell when you go off topic because you are so distracted by your own genius when you go off topic that you forget it anyway.
Into the white light.
That you go back. It's like you have a quick look down there and then go, no. Yeah.
All right. So in our professional production world, what happened to catching up on what we've been up to? Didn't happen. We talked about the naming
of the
podcast.
I told you about
Sammy and you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've been up to lots of adventures.
Oh, lots
and stuff.
Of actual things. Yeah.
Just, can we have a closing? I promised the people on social media.
Yeah.
That we would get you to tell us from the heart what it was like to be adored by 8,000 people on stage. What?
Do you mean when I just went?
Yeah, you can tell the story.
Well, Missy's been doing these tours with Butler, or as Sammy calls him, Mr. Needles.
Why does he call him that?
Because John.
What's happening?
Because John tattooed Missy by hand.
Oh.
He did a handmade tattoo on her wrist.
In Sammy's era.
Just the other week.
Right. Okay.
When they were on tour. And Sammy saw this and was appalled and. So it looked painful and started calling him Needles, which John felt a bit bad about being forever known as the inflictor of pain on his mother. Missy's been playing these songs that she's written for Sammy and me on this tour, and I've been there with Luna and Sammy or both. We've been moving, you know, we've been trying to – we got terribly sick in Perth. All of us. Mm. It was it's a special kind of hell when you've got all the children sick and you're all sick in a hotel room on tour and you've got to go to the airport and fly to somewhere and You know, it's just the fucking
pressure
end.
On the sinuses. Just
and then we had a nanny come with us, and she got sick as well. So no. All of us, and so it was like living hour to hour.
That's why you got to get a Tibetan nanny.
Who's impervious? Oh no,
they only don't get sick when they stay in their own village.
In their own village, no. But I mean, that's she cancelled for the first time ever a concert because she was fucked.
I was watching that and I went, oh, the empathy was going in hard. It was like, oh, that would be awful.
It was crazy. So, but yeah, she's been talking a lot about us, and because I was there with Luna in the carrier, sort of backstage. Mm. She'd sort of refer to me, go, Dan, like, my family here, Dan's here, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, fuck this. She's telling the story of how we met, et cetera. And what the. So I just walked out on the stage with the baby and took a bow. And yeah, and they all cheered. And then they started chanting, they were chanting, more Dan. And my head was getting very maniacal.
Richmond Club Hotel, like, vibe. Those 50 people were cheering for you in 1980.
Jesus, you really have been around a long time.
I remember Louise saying, you know, we were at a gig at the Corner Hotel. She goes, we've got to go over. Dan's playing at the Richmond Club.
Over
we went, and they just had a bucket of cans in the
middle.
The Richmond
Club Hotel is across the road from the.
It became a restaurant in the.
But it still says Richmond Club Hotel. But that was run by some crime figure.
Oh, was it?
Definitely was, because he was selling drugs out of the top as well, and he went to jail for dealing cocaine.
Oh no, that was the Great Britain.
No, that was much later. This was earlier. This was like 91 or 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And they used to, because they hadn't paid their CUB bill, they'd just buy cartons of beer from the bottle shop, put them in rubbish bins full of ice behind the bar because the taps were off, right? They had bands on Thursday nights or whatever. Yeah. I think Magic Dirt played there when they were just starting as well, around the same time. And they were crazy, those gigs. And no one would get paid. And one time I said, we want our money now. And she said, oh, well, there isn't any money.
Have a can for half price.
Have a can. And then so I said, and so I got up on the bar. I said, well, I'm coming over to get the money out of the till. And then the big bouncer, there's this huge bouncer, came over and said, what's going on? I said, I want my fucking money. And he took me around the bar and helped me take it out of the till because he wasn't getting paid either.
Oh, nice.
So they were crazy. So it's a far cry from that, I tell you, 50 people at the Richmond Club Hotel. But I came out and so Missy started this thing, and also because she's been playing I Was Made for Loving You on ukulele.
Yeah.
The Kiss song, which was we sang together, that's how we got together, et cetera. And she's been talking about all that stuff in interviews and stuff as well. So now she started calling out to me. I was talking to Donna from the Waifs backstage, at the side of the stage in Canberra.
Yeah.
And we were just talking to each other while she was playing, and she's talking to the audience, and I hear her go, hey, Dan, stop talking. So there's fucking 8,000 people, and she stops what she's doing to tell me to shut up. And I'm like, fucking hell. So then it's on. Then I'm going to start. So I'm lurking in the background on the stage. Yeah. And every time I walk past with the baby, the crowd go, and they're going, more Dan. So I'm like, man, if you want to do this, you want to be careful.
Yeah.
You invite a vampire into your home.
Yeah.
So I've been
a monster.
I've walked out on stage a couple of times now.
Mm.
And I have very mixed feelings about it, because on one hand you hear, a lot of people cheering and it's like, yeah, I'm part of it. But then you go, no, you're the husband.
But if you were Toddy from Big Brother, they'd still cheer you on.
I feel like a Big Brother contestant because I'm not famous for doing anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm famous for having a baby. For fatherhood. So that's where it's relevant to this, I suppose.
Exactly.
You know, they should all get a cheer like I did.
I copied that photo onto our socials for our show.
She put them on Instagram, adored for being a father. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to make the most of that. Bugger that. If she's going to talk about us, I'm going to start, No, I probably won't. I say that. I get excited about it. And then I go, it's quite kind of pathetic.
You're going
to
be like, you know, in Spinal Tap, the girlfriend who designed the costumes. Have you ever said, has it got Dobbly?
No,
you've got to.
Oh, is that the line?
Yeah, I think she says, has it got Dobbly when she wants to get involved in the grown-ups kind of.
But that's a real concern I have about being the partner of a famous person, because there's a million stories about partners who have got this huge chip on their shoulder because they're in the shadow of the. That's why I've kept up I could have easily just let her take the spotlight and been a full-time parent and not pursued my writing and my plays and things like that. Because there have been times when I've gone, fuck this.
But you know what happens to you psychologically then. It's not so, not
because
good
then
for,
I am in the shadows. Yeah. Well, it's not good parenting, and then I'm also going to start resenting her probably.
Yeah.
So it's very important that I keep doing all that stuff. I mean, I have to anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's important that I do it because I could easily – I don't want to end up being that fucking partner that's disgruntled and fights with the backstage.
But we're more talking about you going, I'm putting together my own musical outfit. And I want a support gig or you know, or will you do a duet with me? It'll help me release my record. You know, that's a
deal. Yeah, I know. It's horrible because, you know, I get – like she's done a few things.
Or at least can you, you know, when we do a legitimate podcast and we're famous, go, can you please tag us?
Well, that's right. It's a funny thing because she's helped me with – well, help me. She's
you want to fight against that urge, don't you?
Well, yes and no. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because why in any other career, people wouldn't think, well, you would help out the people you know.
Yeah, I want to patent an invention, and my wife's a patent lawyer.
Yeah, you're not going to.
But I don't want to fucking hassle her.
So who are you impressing by doing that? But on the other hand,
depends where the idea comes from. If it comes from, oh, my wife's a patent lawyer. Oh, all right, I've got to come up with an invention.
Yeah.
And waste her time making me patent something stupid. That's different, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's a combination of both. It's always a strange scenario because I'll say to her, can you post something about this on Thingo? Yeah. And sometimes I just want it to go to our friends and other times it can go out. And I don't know how I feel about that. It's like
you've just got to do something she's proud of, and then
well, and if I'm proud of what I've done, I feel less bad about it because I go, she likes it, I like it. Like the play was on. I mean, she's obviously going to mention it, but it's not to market it as much as to just go, this is on.
Hey, we've got one more production thing before we wind up. how many times am I going to say that in the next hour?
Come on, mind commandant.
So the question
schnell,
is, do we? Fresh start.
At some point, we've got to stop invoking German accents.
It just means you're being bossy. It's like
it's horrible, anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's constant referencing back to the war or German kind
of. Well, lest we forget.
Anyway, lest we rub it in.
Do we fresh start? And this is relevant to what we were just talking about. So, do we completely fresh start with our dad show?
Let's
working title.
Hang on to your hat,
right?
Yeah.
Do we fresh start it? So episode one is episode one, dude.
It's got to be.
Or does What Now convert and then we keep our 50 listeners?
I think it should be new, and I think that if people want to go back and listen to the other stuff, we'll be referring to it and we'll put it in the show notes.
Because number one, guests, you know, we've been pretty loose and it's been personal. I'm sure it will continue to be.
You're saying we want to hide the past a little bit.
Do we want to hide the past a little bit? And it comes down to that when you're saying to someone, this is my product, whether it's your wife or not, this is my product, this is my show, we've done 6 episodes, it's getting a bit of traction, it's got a topic, we're being grown-ups even though we're mental.
Yeah.
Right? This is the product. This is the package. It doesn't come with any other baggage.
Yeah, my gut feeling is we should do that, but we'll always have links to the old. I mean, the old show always exists if people want to listen to it.
And I was thinking that before when I was at the toilet. What now?
It's the only weird place you can think these days, isn't it, on the toilet when you've got kids.
And it was just a wee, so it was a fleeting thought. But I did think, oh, hang on a minute. What now? Either way, because I've got this – I've got this kind of resistance to change. I'm a Cansarian, right? But I've got this resistance to change because it's like, oh, fuck, now I've got to open another podcast account, another Instagram account, all this shit. It's just hard work. That's part of the game. And I think it'll be better in the end. But either way, I do have plans to going back and doing possibly a daily news show like the original What Now was.
But the good thing about making it new
and
is so that
it's sitting there and I can go back and use that and go do my daily 10-minute news show.
Yeah.
And use that format. So no loss.
Yeah. That's my gut feeling. I mean, is that we should do that, but I'll leave that to you.
I will.
God knows I'm not going near social media.
Which means they won't hear this. Because this is on the What Now format.
Platform. No, we can put this on both. That's what we should do. We should put this as the prequel to the second one.
And the grand finale.
And the grand finale of the first one. You can put
Yes, we can. It's just an MP3
and
file.
That way it always links it back. You could call it, when you put it on the second series, you can say a farewell to What Now, and then,
Well, so let's do a quick 5-minute take where we weep and say goodbye and, you know, like the last episode of MASH. And then we'll go cut, and then we'll do one where we go, we're so pumped. Welcome aboard, everybody. This is the new world.
Yeah, we could do that.
No, just saying that's enough.
Yeah, that's it. You've done it. It's all good.
Well, Dan, thanks for What Now. It's been beautiful. I'm doing it anyway.
No, but it's just a formatting issue. It's not a – We're not –
I know.
It's not like we've got an HBO contract or something.
Well, actually, no, we don't.
Yeah, all right. Well, so hopefully that's good. You know, that's what we're going to try and do.
Yep.
And that's what we'll try and keep it interesting, and hopefully people will come with us. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they will.
I mean,
this is the big one.
Yeah, we'll try and push it a little bit more. We'll get a little bit courageous with getting people, because now that we've settled on this central kind of topic around which to kind of spin everything, and I think that's something we're not going to stop being fathers, right? Not unless we commit a murder, suicide.
I think you still...
Maybe we should have the murder, suicide episode.
You still are. I mean, your whole world...
You're still technically...
As we know,
So the thing you learn from that
is... Don't fret.
There's no escape.
There's no escape.
There's no escape. So don't kill yourself. It's not an option because you can't escape. No, so we're always going to be fathers. So we're always going to have some kind of angle on this, and we'll try and include as many other people as we can.
Yep. Sounds great.
Sweet. All right.
Welcome to the new world.
Welcome to the shiny new world.
Which could disappear if I suddenly have a stroke.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. I could still have you in a chair in the corner. I could throw bits of paper at you.
When I'm gone.
Yeah, actually, the whole thing
disappears. Yeah, sorry, guys.
Well, it doesn't. And also with this, because God knows I don't know how to operate it.
It's not like I guess all the physical shit disappears as well.
It's not like I could.
You couldn't, because you disappear. The world revolves around
exactly. me. Exactly. Yeah. All right.
I already cut it off in my head. I'm just talking shit. Do we have a special way to say goodbye that we might include in the future?
I think we have to come to that organically, naturally, if we do that.
What Now?
That awesome podcast was recorded at Castaway Studios in Collingwood. Here, we provide affordable, accessible, professional podcasting production facilities to the full range of podcasters, all the way from basic studio hire right through to full season production packages. You can get us on castawaycollingwood@gmail.com or just look up Castaway Studios on all the social medias.